even after all these years. I still get excited for that first game. We had a long off season, so it's been a while since I played a game. Looking forward to that, obviously playing against you.
Connor Bedard.
The expectations are high, you know that. How are you feeling about your first game?
Super excited. It's a childhood dream, of course. Growing up and being a big fan, pretty cool to face off against you.
It's an opening night triple header, Tuesday on ESPN and ESPN Plus.
Take it easy on us?
Yeah, we'll see.
What a time in sports. It is the best month on the sports calendar, October. Everything is in full swing, and we are rolling on this Monday from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. Danny and Rex are good. Everyone doesn't need to worry. Damian Woody, Wood will step in if we need him. And last night, the Cowboys could have used him. I'll tell you that. Cowboys, Niners, if you didn't stay up late last night, you missed a shellacking. Dak Prescott against Brock Purdy, one of the quarterbacks, was terrific. And he was wearing red. Purdy, George Kittle, getting it started.
No Micah Parsons on the field. Kyle Shanahan calls drop back pass. He moves up in the pocket, finds George Kittle. Great start.
Second quarter, tricky Niners.
I love this from the 49ers that they stole it from the Detroit Lions. And think about it if you're with the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. The Lions ran this play earlier in the day.
Yes.
The Dallas Cowboys defense. Hand it to McCaffrey. You watch him flip it to Deebo Samuel, back to Brock Purdy, and somehow George Kittle, the best tight end in football, becomes uncovered down the sideline.
Two touchdowns and counting for him, 14-0. Next Dallas drive. Here was the one really good moment for Dak all night.
It's really the only throw that was made for Dallas Cowboys offense. They motion Turpin. They get the matchup that he want in third and four to the front pylon. It's a great throw.
Meanwhile, next Niners drive. Rex, I have two words for you. Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, my goodness. And you know what's funny? He didn't score on this. I'm a little disappointed.
You needed that anytime touchdown?
Yeah, you know what?
Well, you'll feel better then because he would finish off the drive with that. 21-7 Niners at the half. So it's still very much a game. Here's a moment. Third quarter, third and 14.
Watch this throw up over defenders in the zone. Just the pace, the trajectory of that throw. And honestly, hits Deebo Samuel perfectly in stride to get some of that yards after the catch. One of the best throws of the weekend.
A 42-yard gain, and it sets up Kittle's third touchdown of the night.
I love that design. Usually Kittle will nod and go to the back pylon. This time he leans that way and goes to the goalpost.
You see him counting them. One, two, three. Meanwhile, Mike McCarthy needs to recount a few things. The horror show would start here.
I don't know why he throws this football. We're going to break it down. I mean, this is, in many ways, football 101. When you see that play on first down and you're still in the football game, a poor decision, worst throw.
It was the middle of the third quarter, so, I mean, it wasn't fully desperation time. Then Kyle Juszczyk catches Brock Purdy's fourth touchdown of the night.
Put in
and
one
then
of my covers.
Dak Prescott. Through three interceptions in his personal house of horrors, San Francisco, a one-sided affair, 42-10, the final. Dak, what?
Didn't see it coming. As you said, put everything into this and got punched in the mouth. Called a couple of weeks ago, humbling against Arizona. But this may be the most humbling game I've ever been a part of.
It's a punch in the gut. It's a kick in the ass, whatever phrase you want to put on it. But, you know, I think it's clearly, but you look at how the season's gone. You know, we've been knocked down. We will clearly acknowledge it. I'm not a burn-to-take guy. I think that's a crock of shit. We're not going to do that. We're going to go through it.
We are not that far off from them. I do not think they are this much of a better team than us. Like I said, we beat ourselves, and we need to be in better position to make plays and things like that. Sometimes you got to look at these losses as a blessing and just say thank you.
People think that's a routine play. That's not routine. There's nothing routine. There's nothing routine about that.
His mobility is
awesome.
Phenomenal.
Purdy.
Absolutely phenomenal. And
tell everyone who he reminds you of.
He reminds me of Joe Montana. He really does. And that was a guy who had such easy mobility and such a great awareness in the pocket. And he's accurate as hell. Look, he doesn't have the biggest arm, but he's so accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And on the move, it's so poised. That's who he reminds me of.
You know what? The crazy thing is, like, I watched that game. I'm like, one team has a playmaker at quarterback, the other team doesn't.
Sure.
Brock Purdy is a playmaker. Like, the dude has the mobility. He plays with touch, accuracy, all of that. And then you look on the other side with Dallas and Dak. He's just not a playmaker. He doesn't make plays out of the structure of the offense.
Yeah, in relation to Brock Purdy in San Francisco, he's an MVP candidate now. Absolutely, after that performance, he's completely changed that offense. There's not a play on the field that they cannot call, nor an area of the field they cannot attack with him. In relation to Dallas, that is the worst performance of Dak Prescott's tenure as a Dallas Cowboy. That was completely an outclassing. And if you want to tell me it's a line of scrimmage game, no, it wasn't. This was a quarterback and play caller game. And San Francisco not only had the advantage, a massive advantage. There was one throw made by Dak Prescott in that football game. It's the touchdown pass to Turpin. There were six or seven just big time throws made by Brock Purdy. The Cowboys offense looked archaic and antiquated. The first pass of the game, I think, is a drop back go route versus off corner. That's as bad, about as low percentage of passes you can get in football. They get in trips on third down. I think it's their first third down in the game, meaning three receivers to one side of the football. They ran triple slants. That's what Mike McCarthy has done for the last 10 years was in Green Bay. It's predictable. And to go against an elite defense and do that, it's like giving the answers to the test.
Here's a sentence I never would have thought I would hear you say. Who do they miss?
Who do they miss? How about Boy Wonder?
That's Boy Wonder.
Boy Wonder is who they miss.
Kellen
you know
Moore,
why?
Offensive
Kellen
coordinator.
Moore, and what's funny, I like Kellen Moore. I mean, I call him Boy Wonder because he looks like he's 16. But the dude can coach. And what I loved how creative he used to be. And here's the thing. In the offseason, I thought Dallas, I picked him as my Super Bowl champs because they brought in Stephon Gilmore. I knew what he would bring to that defense. It'd be terrific. And they bring in a guy named Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks, yeah, he played. One catch. This kid gained 1,000 yards. By the way, he's played for every team in the National Football League and gained 1,000 yards. You brought him in just to run deep? I don't get it. So, to me, it's like, we got to go back and use our weapons. And who are our weapons? Yeah, right now you assume it's Amari Cooper and that's it.
CD Lamb.
Or CD Lamb, yeah. Excuse me. And that's it. Well, where's Brandon Cooks? Where's Tony Pollard? Like, you have some players.
Right.
It has to get substantially better for you to play against the elite team.
I'm going to give D. Wood credit because you said to me last week, if the Cowboys aren't in front, they're lost. If they're not playing from in front where their defense can pin their ears back and their quarterback can be conservative and find little plays here and there. When they get behind, they get into a game like that and they just get crushed. It's happened
twice. They're a front-running team, obviously led by their defense. When their defense is, you know, creating turnovers and in a frenzy, that's when Dallas is at their best, right? That's why I said they're a front-running team. And even their quarterback plays to that because the pressure, he's off the hook. But now when you're going up against a team that's equal or better than you and they're not giving the ball away, we know that San Francisco is the best team in the league at taking care of the football. It clearly exposes Dak Prescott. He's not a playmaker at the quarterback position.
Okay, so let's try and solve some of the problems here. The one thing you love about Dak, he says the right thing. He said afterwards, the most humbling game I've ever been a part of. That's what you want to hear him say. What do they do to fix this? Right now, they look as far from being a Super Bowl contender as you can. Detroit looks way better than them. Philly, San Francisco goes without saying. Seattle looks better than them.
The Rams.
They look, maybe even the Rams. They look like maybe the fifth or sixth best team in the NFC.
Yeah.
What do they do to get this fixed? They've got 2.5 months to do it.
Yeah, and I was wrong kind of saying that a month ago they were the best team. They were just playing really bad football teams. So how do they get it fixed? So they got to figure out defensively a little bit without Trevon Diggs. And that is still a very big storyline because they can't play to the style that they want. I think offensively specifically, you cannot just line up in today's NFL and stand still offense. You can't. This is what bad offenses do. They line up, they call a good play, and when they don't out-execute a good defense, they go, we just got to execute better. No. One of the fundamental starting points of a coach, and you know this better than me, is give your players an advantage. Create some form of advantage. So they got to use more motion. They got to use more stacks and bunches. They got to create leverage or numbers. They have to, in many ways, like, I would love to see more play action. They ran one under center play action yesterday. That's not just a Cowboys thing. That's an NFL thing. So, again, the offense is very archaic and antiquated coming off of yesterday. If they think they're just going to line up and play shotgun football and out execute on a consistent basis, good defenses, maybe bad ones, good defenses, they're kidding themselves.
Well, and I'll look at the other side of the ball. I'll take a look at that defense. And when you talked about Diggs, they got to figure out how to play defense without Diggs. Here's a crazy stat that Himbo gave me, all right?
Yeah.
30th in the league in pass defense since Diggs left. Mm. Like, and I said that was going to be a major
30th?
Issue. 30th. They give up 8.5 yards per attempt. Mm. So, like, this is horrible. And so what it tells me right now is you've got to make adjustments. You've got to get out of the all that man coverage you were wanting to play early when you had Gilmore and Diggs on the field. You've got to be more creative that way. And Dan Quinn, the pressure's on you because 30th in the league is absolutely crazy. Went from first to 30th.
That includes a game they played against Mac Jones and the Patriots where they only scored 3 points, and that's included in that span. So it shows you how bad it's been in the other games, particularly last night when they got just worked. So at this moment, is it on McCarthy to get this thing fixed? Is it on Dak to get this thing fixed? Who has to be the reason this team turns it around?
McCarthy has to, and he's got to sit back and say, okay, there's a reason I took play calling over. I think I'm a great play caller. You need to go prove it, but you can't do it and just you can't just blow the dust off something you did 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Today's game is much different. Use motion. Use those things, but use your weapons.
Yeah.
Use your weapons.
Remember, I said there's a difference. I think a couple weeks ago when I was talking about the Steelers. There's a difference between calling a play and calling a game.
Yeah.
The plays Mike McCarthy called are good football plays. They're just not good plays in those situations. And I think he's got to find that rhythm back for this offense to kind of gain an advantage for their players.
All right, we have more on this game as we go, but I want to get to Sunday superlatives because there was so much good stuff in the NFL yesterday. Let's touch on a few of the other games. Dan, who was most impressive to you this week?
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence. I think it might be the best game I've seen him play, specifically on third down, when he's getting hit. That play in the red zone, takes a shot, throws it high to Zay Jones. Fantastic. He gets pressure again, drifts away, throw this stop route to Calvin Ridley. This might be the throw of his career, in my opinion. Third down late in the game, he gets all out pressure. 1, 2, 3, 4 throws that inside slot fade. You cannot throw the ball better than that right there. Unbelievable performance for Trevor Lawrence. Been waiting for it. Want to see if it propels for the rest of the season.
D-Wood, what was the biggest surprise to you?
Bill Belichick. Listen, he suffered the worst losses in his career in back-to-back weeks.
Yep.
When was the last time we saw New England Patriots just shut out at home up in Foxborough? That is one of the hardest places to win football games as an away team. And this team stinks right now. Personnel-wise, they're awful. The GM and Bill Belichick is killing the coach and Coach Belichick.
By the way, the answer was when I was in Buffalo when we shut him out without Tom Brady. Much easier.
Rex, favorite moment of the day.
Oh, I love it right here. Tyreek Hill for 70 yards. And you know what? Wink, you're my boy. Then you're funny in the press conference about you crying. You know who's crying? That kid's parents. That's a 6th-round pick you put on Tyreek Hill in man coverage from a press position. Oh, my goodness. I'm crying. His parents are crying.
When that play was lined up, I mean, you're sitting on my couch, I'm thinking there's got to be someone behind him.
They were trying to disguise bringing that safety down. They brought him down, all right.
Yeah.
Touchdown.
That was a rough day for the Giants and their fans. As we continue, it was a rough day for the fans and the coaches in Denver. Zach Wilson and the Jets defense pulling off a win. This crew is going to try and convince me the Jets are headed to the playoffs this year. We'll talk about it. Plus, the Ravens receivers couldn't seem to catch the ball yesterday. Rex is fired up about what they did before the game. Don't miss this next. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore his seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
The battle in the AFC North, the old rivals, John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin, ready to go, Ravens and Steelers in Pittsburgh. And here comes the theme, Lamar Jackson, Rashad Bateman. Catch that!
Beautiful throw by Lamar. This actually comes after a second down touchdown drop by Mark Andrews. Uncharacteristically, story of the afternoon for the Ravens.
Third quarter, Jackson to Nelson Agholor. Catch that!
This isn't a drop. This is the third touchdown that gets dropped by the Ravens offense. 8 drops in total. Beautiful throw on that inside slot.
A little wide there.
A little wide. Steelers had no offense at all working in this game, but they're special teams.
I mean, outstanding job by Miles Killebrew to get in and then reach that right arm on that special teams play to get that punt blocked.
10-5. It's a safety. These safeties turn games around. We see it all over the place. Then it's Lamar. It's Odell Beckham. What happens here?
This is just a poor design in my eyes. And then also, the timing of this play, it's a bad throw by Lamar Jackson, but there's so much that goes into why that's a bad throw. I'll show you in a second.
Yeah, we'll have a tape on that in just a moment. Meantime, a minute 24. Remember I said the Steelers had no offense? They made one big play, and that's the one they needed, George Pickens. They go for the 2. They don't get it, so they're up 14-10. Lamar's got a chance at his own 44, and here's the ball game.
Yeah, there's pressure, and then Highsmith comes around the end, rips off that right. Right off the right shoulder of Lamar Jackson to end the football game.
Unbelievable back and forth AFC North kind of black and blue battle. 17-10, the Steelers wind up getting the win. There's so much to be said coming out of this game. Somehow, the Steelers are 3-2. I have no idea. As of this moment, the Steelers lead the AFC North. It's almost impossible to believe. But start with the tape, because I think that's important here. People will look at this. They're going to see Lamar's numbers. They're going to think he played a bad game. Show us the tape.
Yeah, so that goal line fade that they're trying to get thrown to OBJ. One, I don't love it with a normal split, meaning where the receiver is in the shotgun, just because the timing of it. The quarterback has to make one of two decisions when he catches the ball. So in the gun, Lamar's throwing that football right now. Odell's at the line of scrimmage still. There's no declaration of what type of throw I can get made. Now, sometimes you go, we're throwing it to the back pylon no matter what. Or you're, as a quarterback, you're trying to gauge it. Where's that defensive back? Am I throwing it over the top or the back shoulder? He just kind of like floats it out there and it misses inside. I would have loved to see in the back shoulder. But the reason why you don't like this is because the timing is so, it's difficult to make the proper throw in that moment. And Odell is expecting that back shoulder. Lamar throws it upfield, almost like a no man's land. And that's why I don't love that red zone fade when the quarterback is in the shotgun. Mm-hmm. If he's under center, it gives him just a fraction of a second to be like, okay, where is Odell? I could throw the back shoulder fade. Or if you cut the split, meaning move him closer to the football, then it's almost a guaranteed back shoulder because there's so much more space. Bad throw. It's a bad throw, but there's reasons why that throw looks as bad as it does.
In the meantime, the numbers also look so bad because the Ravens had, 71 drops in this game yesterday. I'm only slightly kidding. They dropped 8 passes yesterday. And Rex, you are livid. Something you heard on Sunday NFL Countdown yesterday.
Yes, Sal Powell comes on and he talks about how this football team, the receiver coach, has his receivers catch a rugby ball. He's showing it right here. And I'm like, a rugby ball? It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But somebody trying to be a guru. And he said, well, it's because you got to catch it with two hands. Yeah, that ball is not the same size as a football. And you look at some of these other things. Hey, genius. You catch a football. How about this one right here? Are his hands a little wide? I don't know. Take a look. If that was a rugby ball, I bet he'd come down with it. So now over here, I love the fade. We're going to show it hopefully a little later on the – here's one right here. Okay, use your hands. Catch it. Oh, come on, Mark. And now we're going to get on this one here. Oh, Bateman, he's got this one for sure. Whoops, but if it's a rugby ball, he's coming down with it, and he may just pick the thing, put it on the ground, and kick the extra point. I don't know, but I'm telling you this. My favorite one is still coming up, but again, eight drops.
Who, the Aguilar one?
Yes, a National Football League game. You have eight drops. All right, here's another one. How about that one? You want him to hand the ball to you? Like, come on. This is absolutely atrocious. But the one, the fade, where the touchdown should have been a touchdown.
The Aguilar play. We saw it in the highlight, too.
His hands are this wide.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is a ball that – is he going to catch a basketball or a rugby ball? A football. The fingertips need to be together on a football. Go back to the fundamentals and sit back. The first thing I do, if I'm Harbaugh, I'm going to take that rugby ball, and I'm going to kick that sucker – oh, out of the dang wherever, where I don't have any idea where that is. It's missing. I don't know. It's somewhere, but it dang sure ain't in my locker room ever again.
All right, so we see some of the reasons why it happens, and I love all of it. The bottom line of it is, though, is the result. The Steelers are atop the AFC North. The Bengals had by far their best game of the season yesterday. Ja'Marr Chase put up monster numbers. He posted 7-11 afterwards
because
he truly is always open.
Yep.
Right now, in that division, who do you like?
Bengals. And I wrote the Bengals off for dead. I did.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think the quarterback would be healthy enough. But he said last week this was the best he felt after a game the whole season, and he was right. You watched the game. You saw vintage Joe Burrow, the way he's able to maneuver in the pocket and outside the pocket. And Ja'Marr Chase, he was right. I'm always open.
He is right.
And judging by the way he played yesterday, he's always open.
15 catches for Ja'Marr Chase yesterday. And so the good news for Cincinnati, the division never ran away from them. As badly as they started, 2-3 puts them only one game out of the top.
I've said for weeks now, don't give up on the Bengals yet. They got to go win against Seattle, and then they get the bye. I'm not out on Baltimore just yet. Eight drops are very uncharacteristic. Baltimore gave that game away. I love what Cincinnati did. 19 targets for Ja'Marr, 15 catches. He's got 33 in the last 3 weeks. If their defense just gets a little bit better, I think Joe Burrow will be who Joe Burrow has always been. But I'm not giving up on Baltimore just yet because I do think that was an uncharacteristic game. I'll say this last quick. They better hope these two giveaway losses don't come back to bite them in the butt at the end of the season. They gave away the Indy game, and they gave away yesterday's game.
Okay, this is going to sound funny, but I'm not giving up on the Cleveland Browns, all right? Deshaun Watson gets healthy, and that defense is playing lights out. So I'm not giving up on the Browns. The one team we're all giving up on is the Steelers.
Yep.
They're three
and they're in first.
They're actually
in first.
That's because two of their wins, they didn't.
By 31 points, and they're 3-2.
That's just Mike Tomlin. He's just Tomlin-ing.
Their offense is a go route to George Pickens or Kenny Pickett to the left. That's really it.
And somehow win. We should make that into a verb. They're Tomlin-ing all their way right now to the top of that division. As we continue, a grudge match a mile high. The stakes were even higher, and the Jets get the last laugh. What does it mean going forward? We'll talk about it next. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We are back on Get Up, and revenge and a whole lot more were at stake yesterday, a mile high, and it was the Jets who would laugh last and laugh best. Aaron Rodgers tweeting about it, Robert Saleh giving Nathaniel Hackett a football afterwards, but then in his post-game comments, the coach taking the high road.
It feels good to win in the league against anybody, it doesn't matter, but, you know, it was a special game for Hack, obviously being here a year ago, racked up over 400 yards on him. Put up 31 points, so I'm happy for him.
Listen, they played better than us, and I credit, you know, Robert and that staff. They won the game, and I think that's how I look at it.
Coach, do you regret, though, those comments, making those comments?
I already addressed that, though, and it's a fair question, but I think we already addressed that the next day.
All right, and so the Jets get the win, the Broncos the frustration. What was your reaction to Robert Saleh taking the high road?
Oh, Saleh is way more classier than I am, because I would have grabbed homeboy and said, let's go. I would have carried him off the field like, yes, and go over the crosser to talk to Sean Payton. Yeah, you see my homeboy right here? That's the guy.
You're carrying the guy.
You just got whipped by us. Like, come on, dude. I promise you. And if I wouldn't have been able to lift him, I would have said, D-Wood, let's go. We got it. I promise you I would. But Saleh is so dang classy. Sometimes I'm like, come on, Robert, just go ahead and put some hot sauce on it.
The storyline of that game obviously was the revenge angle, but the reality of it is it was a critical game for both teams. 1-4 is an abyss that you almost cannot climb out of. How did the Jets avoid going into it?
Listen, defense played lights out. They were at Breece Hall. They finally unleashed Breece Hall.
Breece Lightning.
And then Zach has been playing pretty good football.
Yeah.
And he's only going to get better.
Amen.
Moving forward. So I think that combination of those things that I talked about, the Jets are entering a point in their schedule now where things are going to start kind of looking up for them. I know they got Philadelphia next week, but if they can continue ascending, things are looking up.
The Jets have a top 5 run game in the NFL. And the thing that has changed over the past couple weeks is, like, they're starting to use motion when they're running the football. And when they do that, it's a very good run game. And if they can continue control the line of scrimmage and kind of diversify some of that run aspect stuff. So this is called split flow, meaning they zone block to one side and then they bring someone from the other side and they cut the line of scrimmage. It creates great angles and leverage. And this is when they're using that motion. See how the tight end gets that advantage and he cuts the line of scrimmage and then that offensive line has a great leverage advantage. Those are early in the game. They come out in the second half. This is a counter where that motion gets that outside defender to flow. They get a great double team to the backside linebacker. They pull the backside guard. Breece Hall doesn't go 77 here. It goes 77 untouched. In the last 2 weeks, they've used motion and ran the football 38 times. Motion at the snap, okay? 38 times, they're averaging 7.6 yards per carry. The only team doing it better when it comes to motioning and run the football is the Dolphins. And we know their offense is unbelievable. I think that's the big difference when it comes to what has at least been a foundational part. And then Zach Wilson yesterday on third down was fantastic, especially in the second half. So we watched him last week be great on early downs, and we watched him yesterday be really good on third down, decision-making and throw-wise. That's a very solid recipe for their offense.
He made some big plays when they desperately needed them yesterday.
Yeah, D-Wood talked about it earlier. Before, this offense was set up for Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Now it's starting to be set up for Zach Wilson. And to me, this was a team that was searching for an identity. Are we a zone running team, a gap scheme, or whatever? They're combining both those elements. And I think moving forward, you're going to see this team get better and better and better. The more they run the ball, the better they're going to be. And you know who else is going to be better?
Mm-hmm.
Zach Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for it is now they got to respect that run. You're going to allow Zach to have more time to throw the ball down the field, which we know he's got NFL arm talent, and he's going to be able to find Garrett Wilson and company. But look, this kid right here, Breece Lightning is sixth in the NFL in rushing yards. and 28th in attempts. Just wait till those attempts start catching up and a little more. And you know what? Dalvin Cook's going to be unleashed at some point. And you've got your guy, Carter. They've got three guys that can run it. And again, it's not just the ability to run the football, but it's what it's going to do for Zach Wilson with the play action and stuff off of it and some of the movements and boots and things.
I want to make sure I'm clear on what you're talking about. When the Jets lost Aaron Rodgers, there were many people who were concerned that their hopes of accomplishing anything this season are over. Do you believe this team, with Zach Wilson at quarterback, can make a playoff run this season?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They got, number one, they got the defense that will continue to make plays and keep them in games. That's number one. And the quarterback is getting better. Like, when you watch the tape, you can see, like, tangible improvement from the quarterback. And I think a big part of that is Nathaniel Hackett and helping the young quarterback.
And when Aaron Rodgers comes back after week 12 of the Jets are a 500 team, then all of a sudden you make, like, a crazy run at the end and you pull off a Tom Brady, make a run, like, when you're not seven games in a row, stun the world and win the championship. Is that what you're telling me you're foreseeing?
No.
Okay, I just want to be clear that you're saying that. I just want to make sure. I'm not the one who's saying that. I want to make it clear that this is what Dan is telling me that he thinks is going to happen. Aaron Rodgers coming back after – let's be a little less – okay, right. Again, more conservative. Week 13. He comes back week 13, and Rodgers picks them up, boom, on the – and now they make that kind of run. All kidding aside. So the Jets, that's one side of it. Very quickly, Broncos, disaster. Last year – the worst coaching job of all time, Nathaniel Hackett. They were 2-3 after five games. They're now 1-4, and they have historically one of the worst defenses in the history of the sport. Quickly, where do they go from here?
They got it. They got a lot to handle defensively. Russell's played better, but the ending of the game is something that kind of stands out. So he runs around, fumbles. They're trying to make that comeback. And just the way that Sean Payton is expressing to him on the sidelines. Quincy Williams comes, sack, fumble, stripped, walk-in touchdown. Watch what he says to Russell Wilson here. He's saying the back is your hot, meaning they brought a blitz, I gave you the answer, throw it to the running back, and you didn't. That won't sit well with Sean Payton. That won't sit well when a coach gives you the answer and you don't do it. For a guy who's had players do it consistently and it's worked well, that won't sit well.
For the record, anyone who didn't watch the game, it was a three-point game, and they're driving down there for at minimum a game-tying field goal, if not maybe a game-winning touchdown, when that sack, strip, fumble, you know, see the final score, it's 10 points. And that moment, that is the play that ends the game. They have plenty of time.
They had just gotten the interception.
They wanted. Yeah, so they have plenty of time to go down there and try and do it. So it's a critical moment in the game, the marriage of Sean Payton. Like Russell Wilson, what I can't help but notice there is that Sean is saying that, and Russell is just walking by and does not appear to be listening to anything that he's saying.
Yeah, no, he's hearing them, but, I mean, the thing is, you've got to get better. And this is the first year of an offensive system, a new offensive system, so sometimes there is going to be some growing pains. I do think that the offense is not the problem. We all know it. Greeny, your point, second worst defense
ever
in the history of the NFL.
In points allowed.
Yeah, that's
it's as bad as it goes. Okay, let me run the hurry up. A lot of other things I want to get to here. Danny, let's start with Buffalo. After losing Tre'Davious White last week, now they've lost Matt Milano. What does this mean for the Bills?
Yeah, this is season-changing for the Bills, unfortunately, and I hate talking about it, but it's just the reality. Tre'Davious White is a phenomenal corner. Gone. Matt Milano is one of the best linebackers in football, probably the best not named Fred Warner. Right. This is a... unfortunately, tremendous loss.
Huge loss.
Devastating for them. D. Wood, Eagles, tush push, and a win against the Rams. Your thoughts?
Yeah, like, listen, when you got a quarterback that's as strong as me, as strong as an ox, it's going to be hard to stop. Rex talked about it on Countdown yesterday, how you can do it. But when you have the personnel that the Philadelphia Eagles have, not everyone can execute that.
I hate that play. They should outlaw it. Rex, the Lions scored 42 without Amon-Ra St. Brown or Jahmyr Gibbs. How good are they?
They are outstanding. And you know what? Dan Campbell and his offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, I think are the best play callers in the National Football League. And Jared Goff is absolutely lights out with this football team, the rookie.
Tell him, Rex.
But I love this team. And by the way, They can play defense, too.
No, certainly. They look like a legitimate contender in that NFC. Meanwhile, baseball, weekend wrap. Let's run through other things that happened this weekend. American League Game 2 is yesterday. Rangers scored more points than the Cowboys did. They beat the Orioles 11-8. Mitch Garver.
Gone.
Knocking that one out.
A grand slam and a grand slam, dude. Good ribbies on the day. Oh, my goodness.
And the Orioles would wind up falling into a 2-0 hole. In Houston, Pablo Lopez through seven scoreless innings. Twins evened up that series. Carlos Correa would go 3-for-4 with 3 RBIs. And you're going to see him knock one here.
Base shot, not quite gone. But the Astros, gone.
Get 3. Will be Tuesday in Minnesota. Vegas, the Aces, as we showed you earlier, take game one of the WNBA Finals, beating the Liberty 99-82. Despite trailing at halftime, Jackie Young and Kelsey Plum each scored 26. Vegas has won 7 straight playoff games dating back to last year. You'll see game 2 of the best of 5 WNBA Finals Wednesday night, 9 Eastern on ESPN and the app. WNBA Countdown tips off our coverage at 8 Eastern. Coming up is the old Dak back. He threw 3 picks last night. Orlovsky saw something concerning. He's going to break the tape down next. And speaking of concerning, Rex putting his streak on the line. Here we go. Including playoffs. Who is the losingest quarterback in the history of the Cowboys 49ers rivalry? Which quarterback lost the most games? The answer is next. Back with Sneaky Hembo at his sneakiest. Cowboys, Niners, last night the rivalry renewed. In all the games they've played against each other, which quarterback lost the most times?
Yeah, I mean, he's not talking about the worst record. He's talking about the most losses.
Most individual losses.
Because it would have been Dak Prescott with the worst record. However, not Dak Prescott. He knows that I know the game. He's going to go back. He's going to say Don Meredith because they got their butt kicked against the in the 60th, you know, in the 60s. Stop back. He lost a bunch in the 70s. Come on, dude. Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman. Stop.
Troy Aikman is right.
Bam! Of course it's right. And you know what?
Here's good.
There's something I think I have for him, though.
I think what do you got for him?
Here, I've got a... Boom! I own you, buddy. Troy Aikman?
Troy Aikman.
What? Boom!
Troy Aikman lost 6 times to the 49ers. Steve Young would be next. Oh, to show you, the all-time greats, 2 all-time greats, 2 Hall of Famers, the 2 losingest quarterbacks in the history of that rivalry. Now, to his point, Dak Prescott really struggling against the 49ers again last night, and you're going to show us the tape. This was a little bit of a throwback and not in a good way.
Yeah, a little football one-on-one, and then what felt like a Dak Prescott interception from last season. So the go route, we're going to start up top, okay? You're going to see the release by Brandon Cooks. They're trying to take a shot down the field on what we call a go route. Now, ever since that inside release, see, this is what we call that inside release, where the wide receiver is inside that defensive back with the safety in the middle of the field. In many ways, this is one of the most difficult throws in football to make, because that safety being in the middle field so deep and the corner playing outside, it's almost a double team on that go route. Dak Prescott is going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and just launch that foot. Look, he is throwing that ball downfield. And the reality is this. If that wide receiver doesn't have the chance to stack, meaning get on top and get back to the sideline, this defensive back, that safety in the middle of the field, it's too easy of a play. But it's almost like Dak said, I'm going to take this ball 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and just launch it downfield. If the receiver went outside of that defensive back, different story. But inside with the safety in the middle of the field, that's a very poor decision. And it almost feels like he just throws that ball, because Greeny, if he throws this ball to the bottom of the screen, he's got CeeDee Lamb one-on-one. That's a much more reasonable decision to throw. Now, he's under duress. There's no question about it. But this is just a throw and hope type of throw for Dak Prescott. Ends up being that easy interception for Gibson playing the middle field. Look, that's not even close to the receiver. That's where it feels like that's football one-on-one. You see that receiver go inside. We got to get off of that go route. Now, let's go to the third interception. We call this concept a lion, okay? It is a inside slant and outside slant. The concept is read number 1, Number one to number two, inside out always. Down to the back is a check down. Now the read for the quarterback is gonna be this linebacker, okay? If this linebacker gets pinned inside by that number one slant, we throw outside. If he plays over that number one slant, we either gotta throw the inside tight end or the back. Now watch what the linebacker does. Everybody at home, I just told you the read. Where's that linebacker right now? He is playing over the top. This ball for Dak Prescott should either be thrown right now to that slant, to that tight end, or the back that's going to be checking down. Dak Prescott threw this same interception last year versus the Houston Texans. That linebacker plays over the top. He throws it right to him. There's that interception. So the first interception on that go route, you sit there and go, you've played so much football. When that inside release happens, we can't throw it. And then that lion concept is a very basic one. He threw the same pick last year versus the Texans. And it's not, are you not seeing the field clearly? It's why are we making that decision again?
It was a very tough night all the way around. And Micah Parsons did not mince words after the 42-10 beatdown. We don't have it. But let me tell you, I will do a dramatic reading a little bit later of the things. Micah said, we got to learn how to take a punch. Well, you're now scrolling past it, so I can't read it to you. One way or another, we see what happened there.
Yeah, he doesn't think they're that far off is what Micah Parsons
said they're not that far away. Clearly they are. Dak Prescott, when you see this stuff happening here, we're not supposed to be in that land with him. Dak Prescott is supposed to be a quarterback who can elevate. You guys got into a fight earlier. Mac Jones can't do this. He can't do that. Dak's supposed to. He's paid like he's supposed to. He's talked about like he's supposed to. What are you seeing?
Well, what I'm seeing is like Dan had a great video right there, but I think they're teaching him on that particular play to see single high, which way does the safety open his hips? The hips that Dan showed were actually opened away from him. That's why he thought he could get that ball down the field. Not alibiing for the guy. I'm just telling you what he's seeing and reading. Okay, the other one, on the slants, on that lion concept, there's a little gray in it because the linebacker does a tremendous job. It almost looks like he's not given the clear picture of leaving right now.
Sure.
He's actually letting it stack. He's doing a great job, well coached. And I think that's why he saw it. And to me, that just shows that I don't have quite the confidence in my protection because he might have held it just a tad longer to let it go. Look, this team, that was a horrible performance.
Yep.
I think this team is going to improve as it goes on. It has to.
Yeah.
All right. Are they there right now? Heck no, but it doesn't mean they can't get there.
Yeah, but that's the point here, is that we start assigning blame. Was it the coach? Was it the quarterback? Was it the defense? Was it the scheme? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
It was all of those things.
Yes.
So what's the first thing they need to fix?
I think Mike McCarthy got to evaluate his play calling, his design. Because I don't look at Dak Prescott as a guy. I don't look at him as a playmaker at the quarterback position. Like Brock Purdy is a playmaker at the quarterback position. I think you schematically, you got to put the quarterback in better positions to make plays. And like Rex talked about earlier in the show, you got to utilize your pieces on offense better. I don't see them how they're trying to create matchup issues or matchup problems, you know, with the San Francisco 49ers on defense or even in general throughout this year. They got to do a better job of putting their guys in positions to win rather than, oh, I'm going to just call plays and just have my guys try to win.
So one of the reasons why this offense that McCarthy called in Green Bay was successful for a very long time was Aaron was such a creative player, to your point. Like the reaction, they could run some of the simpler concepts, and if it was there, ball came out of Aaron's hands. If not, he would like to kind of run around to create big plays.
Mm-hmm.
Dak doesn't use his legs as much anymore as he used to, not nearly as much as Aaron Rodgers used to. And so to Wood's point, and this is kind of what we talked about before, the Cowboys aren't really set up to go just line up in static formations, antiquated formations, and go, you go win one-on-one consistently. That's not who they are. CeeDee Lamb, while a very good player, you want to motion him and move him a little bit like the Vikings do a Justin Jefferson or the Dolphins do a Tyreek Hill. And they're not doing that enough right now. It could be a good learning opportunity for their offense to change a little bit. I don't think Mike McCarthy will. He hasn't in 15 years that I've watched him play football much. And I think that would be the starting point for how they get better.
You know, Dan, shouldn't he go back as when you're watching film as a coach?
Yes.
You can steal from anybody in the league.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
One thing you do is you go back and find out like people. And when you mentioned, you know, CeeDee Lamb's tremendous in the slot, yeah, all those type of things. Okay. So, but I'm going to look at how does Detroit get Amon-Ra St. Brown always open and he runs a 4.6?
Yeah.
How do we do those type of things? And even if it's just four or five plays that you do to add to what you do, your library, look, McCarthy, you're a great coach, but still take four or five plays from the league.
Yeah.
And let's get Brandon Cooks involved, for crying out loud.
You either win in many ways because of execution or creativity. They're thinking they could win off execution consistently. I think they need to start leaning into we can win off of creativity.
Greeny, everyone can speak to this. We always refer to NFL as a copycat league.
Yeah.
Because the concepts are always being stolen in the National Football League. That's what Mike McCarthy needs to do more.
You go steal some things.
Steal some things. Look,
it's such a week-to-week league. Every single week, you can't help but overreact to the things you see. At this moment, the Cowboys are in a bad spot. They've got the good news is they have a long time to get it figured out. Meanwhile, the NHL's opening night triple header is tomorrow night on ESPN and ESPN+. You'll see the Predators and the Lightning at 5:30 Eastern. Then the long-anticipated debut of Connor Bedard, the Blackhawks against Sid Crosby and the Penguins. And then finally, the Golden Knights will raise the banner before facing the Kraken. Coverage begins with the Point at 5 o'clock Eastern. We're rolling along, and then First Take takes over top of the hour. You don't want to miss Stephen A. in all his glory. Molly, Shannon, Danny, Rex, all be with him. Top of the hour. It's Get Up, followed by First Take here on ESPN. All right, don't miss Monday Night Football tonight. The Packers, the Raiders, 8 Eastern. It's on ABC, on ESPN and Deportes. Peyton and Eli will once again be on ESPN2. The question is, who do we expect to win tonight? The picks are coming up on the screen right now. Rex, you're the only one riding the Raiders.
And who am I riding? The Raiders. Why? Because my brother coaches there.
Okay. That's good honesty. All right, D-Wood, you're about to be treated.
Okay.
This is your first ever time.
Yeah.
On these Mondays, there is only one way to finish. Danny, take it away.
All right. So, what would you get if a dinosaur kicked you in the rear end?
What would you get if a dinosaur kicked you in the rear end?
A Megasaurus?
Saurus.
Megasaurus.
Megasaurus.
What a...
And with that, we'll see you back in the tomorrow. First Take starts now.